In their infinite wisdom, the United Kingdom has already decided to ban social media access for under 16s. But what about if you're 16 or 17 years old? You could still use the apps, just not under the covers. Soon, the UK will implement a nighttime and overnight ban on social media for 16 and 17 year olds in the country. What does this mean? Probably nothing good. We're going to talk about that on Axis of Easy.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
So, are you a nighttime scroller? You're probably not, if I had to guess. No, I am a huge nighttime scroller. Love nighttime scrolling.
I don't have the up. I usually go to bed like 10:30, 11, so I can't really do much scrolling because I wake up so early.
Yeah.
That's just unfortunate. That's just my lifestyle, the way it is. So luckily I don't. I don't do a lot of nighttime scrolling.
Attaboy.
But the UK government wants to make sure that their teenagers don't. They keep hitting these bulbs out of the ballpark. They home run after home run. The UK government, they hit another dinger today because they said that they're going to be, it's a new proposal. So nothing concrete yet, but this, at least the concrete will be hardening soon. This curfew for social media users for people age 16 and 17. And like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, this is hot off the heels of the banning of the social media for kids under the age of 16. So 16s and 17s are going to feel the pain. It reminds me, of that Drake meme. You know that famous Drake meme that, you know, kids using social media? No, right? Not good. But using a knife to chop off people's heads? All right. You know, that's fine with us. That's the way that kind of see it. So anyways, this curfew is going to apply to 16 and 17 year olds between the hours of midnight and 6 a.m. But the good news, if there's any good news out of this story, is that teens have the ability to opt out, or will have the ability to opt out of these restrictions through account settings. And at least that's how it's being framed right now. But who the heck is not going to want to disable this, right? If you have the option, you're going to disable it, right? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. It's just like more nanny state, but, you know, you're just going to flip that switch off. Anyways, so more things that are going to be included in this is they want to deal with autoplays and infinite scrolling, and they want those to be disabled by default for those teens. Again, disabled by default, something that you could probably enable moving forward. And also, they want to, this is the best one of all, I think, they want to enforce regular usage breaks. It's like hydration breaks at FIFA. That's what it kind of reminds me, right? Anyways, this digital wellness, they want to mandate it and impose it on people, at least the ages of 16 to 17. Once you turn 18, you can do whatever the heck you want. You can scroll, you can use it 24/7, you're good. But if you're 17 and 11 months, And all this, at least it appears, it's going to take into effect either later this year or the beginning of next year, the spring of 2027. That's what the Labour Party is hoping to push through. And the online safety minister, and I'm going to butcher the name here, but I'm going to give it a shot, Kanishka Narayan, that's the online safety minister, by the way, over there, was defending the policy and saying that this is a robust regulatory stance, and saying that this is a balance between protecting young people and allowing them to engage with technology. Well done, Kanishka. Well done. I like the way you're spitting this. And this, if you ask us again, it's like another privacy nightmare, right? It's not just more surveillance, because that's what this is, but also the requirement on somebody or something to collect and store data, because 16 and 17 year old, you can't figure out just based on their habits. You have to have some documentation, like a birth certificate, passport, whatever that may be. So they're going to collect this information, keep it, another honeypot for somebody to steal and tap into. And the real question here is, does this policy actually solve a problem? Or is it just creating some sort of shift and pushing the blame to somebody else. That's what it seems like to me. And it's kind of pushing the blame onto the providers of the social media and have them deal with it. And the government is saying, yeah, we're the ones that instituted this, but it's really doing nothing. You have these toggles you could turn off. These 16 and 17 year olds are going to do the exact same thing, but whatever. And if you think, by any means, if you think that this is going to die in a vine because Starmer is going to be disappearing, his likely successor, Andy Burnham, looks like he's going to follow through with these plans. And he says that this is, he wants to have this fully completed before this current government. So, yeah, stupid. Yes. Is it going to be effective? No. But this is going to be coming to Canada for sure, especially if it happened in the UK. What are the chances of it coming to Canada? Likelihood 100%.
It's 100% for sure. I'm going to take the other side of the argument just to sort of play devil's advocate here on the show, which we don't often do. But there is a problem with the things these guys are mentioning, maybe for the first time in any of these legislative attempts, right? Infinite scrolling is poisonous to kids, 100%. You cannot have children on Facebook, Reddit, Instagram, scrolling through stuff that's basically, going to distract them indefinitely and cut into things like school, sleep, real world relationships. I totally agree with that. And I think that this, like, you know, the mutually assured distraction, a phrase I came up with on my own, idea is one that is pretty important. Mutually assured distraction is something that these apps need to figure out if they want to continue to operate in any modern nation, I would say. That's number one. I think that number two, there is something to be said for the dangers of like nighttime scrolling specifically. Why? There's obviously like a lot of development that happens during the years that the legislation is targeting. So I'm not necessarily opposed to trying to get kids to turn their phones off at night. I mean, you and I try and turn our phones off at night. We have a little more willpower, and the responsibilities we have oftentimes are a forcing mechanism for us. I have to go to bed. If I want to get my 7.5-8 hours, I got to go to sleep now. I got to put the phone away. I know that half an hour before bedtime, it's unwise for me to look at any blue lights or do anything that's related to my cell phone. Certainly, it's bad for me to engage with content that is going to stir me emotionally, which is the third point. I think that some people I've seen defending or attacking the legislation are saying, well, look, I'm allowed to stay up late and read an emotionally engaging book if I want, something that gets me mad. I'm allowed to stay up late and read a paper. I can stay up late and go on my iPad and read the news, and that's the same thing. The difference is when you finish the newspaper doesn't in real time decide what the next story it should feed you should be and try and keep you there indefinitely with more and more engaging, more and more mentally stimulating, sometimes for the wrong reasons, content. All that said, this is still a mistake. It's still a mistake to do this. The governance policies that we're seeing roll out around social media, around internet use and free speech, like the most kind way to put it is you're being governed because the bottom quintile cannot police itself. It's just the people at the bottom of the population are so stupid and so impulsive and so likely to be corrupted by things that are just not going to get the top, you know, the top earners, top performers, most capable, most competent people, that everybody has to suffer. Because if that bottom quintile fails, then you have a problem in society. It's destabilizing. That's the most generous interpretation. The more likely interpretation continues to be, until proven otherwise, honestly, continues to be that there needs to be controls on what kids see when they're by themselves, number one, and what kids are allowed to engage with on the internet without without anonymity. This is really the end of the story. It is not any left-leaning ideology, media outlet, et cetera, that's going to suffer from any of this. Twitter is, at this point, the only place you can get anything even remotely right of Chairman Mao in terms of political ideology. Reddit is toast. Blue Sky, obviously, a complete write-off. And then the major news outlets, all government-funded, only conservative in name once in a while, oftentimes never really holding a true conservative opinion, certainly not defending one when the public has it. And I think that the other thing to keep in mind is that, while it is true Twitter, Meta, some other social media apps, Reddit probably will adhere to this. Is Noster going to adhere to it? Is like Red Note or whatever else is going on in Australia, the UK, like these other kind of offshoot apps, are they going to adhere to it? Who are you going to go to enforce that? You know, ban the app? That's probably where this goes. It's worth mentioning that kids continue to try and find ways to get at VPNs. NordVPN noted there was like a 1,400% increase in VPN signups and usage when the first age verification law rolled out. That's what they see in places where there's like failing governments. Real censorship, real risk when you're expressing yourself online. And the UK in this announcement said, we're still not going to target VPNs because they're not widely used among kids. It seems to me they're trying to force them to be widely used among kids so that they can ban them. These guys have not earned the benefit of the doubt, unfortunately for them. And soon, Len, the only way you'll be able to talk about anything like this is at your dinner table. The problem is mom and dad are both working and don't have time necessarily to engage with the kid. The school will tell the kid that mom and dad are wrong. And if the parents disagree, they'll send a state, a state deputy to your home to either give you a warning or take your child. This is not conjecture. It happens all the time. Bad stuff. Very, very bad stuff. And of course, like you said, under the guise of admirable goals, things that I think make a lot of sense to even the most staunch supporter of, you know, free use, free speech, I still get that infinite scrolling is bad. I still get the kids, you know, specifically young women. I have a young daughter, you have a daughter, kids being exposed to, body dysmorphia content. I get that it's dangerous. I get it. But you have to let parents do their job. The state cannot replace the parent under any circumstances. And that really is what is happening here. Again, that's the best interpretation, the most kind one. The probably more accurate one, though, is it's just going to be a continued crackdown on who's allowed to say what and when and to whom. Because everything the state does is wildly unpopular and corrupt.
Mm-hmm. That's the most effective way of doing something. Is it using the carrot or using the stick?
You know the answer to that. We,
somehow you have to find a way to make sure that the carrot is available for people to chase. Yeah. Because the stick can only work for so long. It will work. Let's be honest. You can make the stick be effective, but for only so long. Eventually, yeah, the effectiveness runs out, and you have to then get a bigger stick to continue to make sure that your point is heard. So that's the reality. Somehow we got to have a carrot here to try to entice people to do the right thing. And yeah, parents have to be more active but like you say, people are just...
They don't have time. They don't have the bandwidth. They don't have the time. They're not willing to engage with the government. They're afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid of losing their livelihoods. It's it's just...
It's a vicious spiral that's taking... Like, everything is just going down the tubes.
Yeah.
And it just seems like there's no...
Let me ask you something. Maybe we'll finish on this hypothetical. You know, I think by the time my daughter is old enough to use social media... we will have these laws here or something similar. Will you allow your kids to use your devices to browse news and stuff like that, that you might look at times when they're not allowed to do it? Are you going to go, this is purely hypothetical, of course, but yeah, like, I think hypothetically I would probably allow that. And maybe isn't it true though, that a good parent, like I almost see this the same way as I see like my kids, you know, first beer or something like that. Like you're going to know what kind of parent you were if when the kid has their first beer, they tell you about it or have it with you on their birthday or something like that. You know, I think that that's indicative of a relationship that's like, you know, honest and open and, you know, is reciprocal with a child. And then I think there's another kind of kid and parent relationship where the kid's first beer would be at 14 under some stairwell somewhere, and they don't tell you about it because they're afraid you're going to get them in trouble, but also afraid you just won't understand. And I think, like, if you think about kids and content, there's some lines to be drawn there between the two situations. I want to be there to help guide and help like my kids understand like what they're seeing, what here is valuable, what here is not valuable, what here is signal, what here is noise. And maybe most importantly, why don't you see it on TV? Why don't you see it in school? Like I would want to have that conversation. This gives parents an opportunity to do that if they like, but I admit that probably, you know, we haven't seen what the punishment for violating these rules are, but I would imagine it's not insignificant.
Yeah,
it's not like everything else.
To not do it. Now, the one thing that you could look towards is the ban that's going on for children in Australia.
Yeah.
It appears that the majority of kids over there, they found
they're getting around it. Yeah, shocker. And
so you have a group of kids, a group of people, let's not call them kids, a group of people that are the most resourceful. They have time in their hands. They're willing to take risks just to make sure that they get access to what they just lost. The same thing is going to apply just about everywhere. If they're going to try to put these restrictions, these folks are just going to find ways around it.
It's a perfect environment because they're in school together all day. Like social media bans would stop that kind of community sharing, but school is the perfect place to do it.
Now, once one person figures it out, they'll share that to their peer and it just spreads like wildfire. And then it becomes a whack-a-mole when it comes time for the government to try to squash that way of getting online. They'll just find another way to do it. And it's just good luck. It's too bad that we're going to this and children are subjected to these type of laws, but what's going to happen in the future? Do you think that they're going to be happy with the way the government is put? It's just going to create a group of individuals, a new voting block that does not like this kind of action. And you're going to have a drastic change once they're able to vote. In the long run, I think this is going to just be harmful for the government that wants to remain in power today, because they're not going to be able to do so once those people become voting age. They're going to want to punish them.
I agree. That's it for tonight. Come back and see us next week for more Access of Easy. Go to accessofeasy.com. Many more stories to cover. Oh my goodness, there's so much going on in data breach and overreach, and it's almost too much. Got to make the newsletter twice a week. EasyDNS.com for all your registrar needs. Ready.ca if you're a high agency Canadian who wants to use social media after midnight in the next 2 years. And of course, the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast to see more of Len and I every Monday night. Until next time, my friends, take care.
Take care.